Back here on the Mighty 690, it is 9:31, and as Election Day is coming up very quickly on the way at Tuesday, August 4th, we have another candidate here for a big race in Kansas on the Republican ticket. We're welcoming in Philip Sarnacki to the KGGF Airwaves. Good morning, sir. How's it going?
Hey, good morning. It's going great.
Hey, we're really happy.
How are you all doing in Southeast Kansas?
Doing well. Glad to have you on here as you're looking for that bid for the governor's seat there. And just really love to have you on here and would like to know just a little bit about, you know, first of all, tell us about your background and why you're running here.
Yeah, well, thank you. And thanks again for having me. Well, I grew up in a little small town, little farming community, you know, maybe 1,000 people. My father was actually a janitor. My mom was a secretary. So we grew up, without very much. And I grew up really playing sports and working. And I worked pretty much out of necessity. I saw my parents sacrifice, and their sacrifice and watching that's a big reason why, you know, I'm running for governor. I've never run for office before. I sold three of my businesses, including my two largest businesses, to do this. When I was 19 years old in college, I got hurt playing football, and if I wanted to stay in school, my parents didn't have money to help me. So I ended up actually starting my first business as a 19-year-old teenager, my sophomore year in college, really to pay for college. And that became the businesses and the companies, the three companies, insurance, wealth management, employee benefits company that I sold over the past year to do this run for governor. We ended up, we had about 18 offices in five states, including we had small offices in Pittsburgh and Fort Scott. And so I've really been in the financial services business, but we have some other businesses. I actually own a Quick Lube oil change business. We have those in five states, including I'm a business owner in Independence, Pittsburgh, and Fort Scott. We've got Quick Lube down there as well. And I'm a partner in a movie production company. We do faith and family movies. I've been doing that for 16 or 17 years. So really for the last 35 years, I have been building businesses and creating jobs, including all over the state of Kansas. And you say, you know, hey, why are you running? Well, you know, we live in a state that President Trump has won three times by overwhelming margins, 15, 16, and 21%. We live in a state that is actually the longest-running state in the country without a Democratic U.S. senator. We have not had a Democratic senator in Kansas in almost 100 years. And we have Republicans have supermajorities in the state House and the state Senate, and yet, for the last 7.5 years, as you well know, we've had a liberal Democratic governor, and very frustrating to me that the career politicians have not been able to win, I believe, the most important job in the state, the governor's job or the CEO job, if you will. And I looked around the country, and there not only did you have President Trump, who was obviously kind of the ultimate business owner, outsider, you know, governor, ran for president, but there were a dozen governors at the time as well who had never run for office. They all came out of the business world. Governors like Bill Lee in Tennessee and Glenn Youngkin in Virginia and Doug Burgum and Kevin Stitt in Oklahoma and Governor Pillen in Nebraska and others, but I felt like we needed to do that in Kansas, and there was just nobody else with that type of background. Quite frankly, I don't believe we've ever had a governor, at least in modern times, with my business background. And I felt it was critical that that's what we needed. I mean, we're in a state, we pay the highest income tax of every single state in our region. We pay the second highest business tax of every state in our region. And our property taxes, and I have been all over the state for the last 11 months, our property taxes are totally out of control, and I don't care where you are, if you're in Independence in Pittsburgh or if you're in Sharon Springs in Goodland or Sedgwick County or Johnson County, it doesn't matter. It's the number one issue as I've gone around the state. And if you take those same states around us in our region and average them, our property taxes are about 50% higher than those states. And so property taxes aren't a problem in every state, but they're a major, major problem in Kansas. And respectfully, our leaders in Topeka for three straight years, Ty Masterson and our leaders said, oh, we've got to get property tax relief. That's really, really critical. And quite frankly, for three straight years, they delivered nothing to the people. Now, if you have a lobbyist and you're green energy, you're a wind turbine, a wind farm, a foreign company, a professional sports team, you got property tax relief. If you're a data center, you got 20-year sales tax relief. But the people have gotten nothing, and we are getting crushed by taxes. The reality is we're overspending, overtaxing, and overregulating our citizens and our businesses in Kansas to death.
We're speaking with Philip Sarnicki, who is on the ticket on the Republican side for the governor's race, with that primary coming up here next week. Sir, of course, we've talked with some other candidates about the economy in the area, and you mentioned some of those property tax issues being perhaps one of those drivers here of some of that economic and population decline. What do you think, if you were elected, that would be a priority for you when it comes to the economy?
Well, so here's the problem. I'm running against people, and again, I say this respectfully, but they've never been successful running a small business in their lives, and we're talking about a state. You know, when you look at the state, it's a $26 billion annual budget, tens of thousands of employees. I was talking to another governor. My wife and I spent about 2.5 years really looking at running, praying about it, talking to legislators, talking to business leaders, what people thought of an outsider and a business leader, not somebody that's been in that, really that swamp in Topeka. And the response was overwhelmingly positive, that we needed someone that understood business and understood the economy. And so one of the first things we'll do when we walk in is we are going to audit with an independent outside auditor, two key words, independent outside auditor, every single department and every single agency across the state government. And we know a couple states that have done it. We've talked to people to do that. And we're going to get rid of this waste and fraud. Our leaders in Topeka have spent money. So that $26 billion annual budget, what I didn't tell you is $10.5 billion of that's been added in just the last 7 years. And as Republicans, we can blame that on Laura Kelly, that spending. But let's be honest, the Republicans have had super majorities in the state House and the state Senate for most of that time. And that additional $10.5 billion of spending is with virtually no population growth in the state. Those same states in our region that I talked about earlier, if you take those states, we are dead last in our region in population growth over that 7 years. So in other words, that additional $10.5 billion of spending is being absorbed by the same number of taxpayers. And then you go, well, gee, no wonder we have the highest income tax in our region, the second highest business tax, and our property taxes are out of control. So that's the first thing we're going to do. We have to take the shackles off of our business owners and our entrepreneurs and our Kansas investors. We rank 42nd as a state in new business startups per capita. So we don't start enough new businesses, but it actually gets even worse because we rank 48th in five-year new business survival rate as a state. So, and part of the problem is, again, we're just spending too much money. We are then overtaxing. That leads us to overtaxing. And then we also overregulate. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners who are business owners understand what's going on there and a lot of the frustrations. As governor, I can put out an executive order that in 30 days, if you don't get a permit approved, you will not have to pay for that permit. So that's just one example in addition to the audit that we're going to do across the state government. But our leaders in Topeka, and by the way, it's not everybody. We have some wonderful legislators there, obviously. I have many that have endorsed me and are backing our campaign because they know we need leadership change in Topeka. But we've done things like, for example, the King Air plane that the state had apparently wasn't good enough. So 2 years ago, they go out and spend almost $9 million on a brand new corporate jet. Laura Kelly, Ty Masterson, our leaders needed that, I have no idea. they buried in the new Chiefs agreement, and whether you agree with the Chiefs deal or not, was a luxury suite for the leaders in Topeka paid for by the taxpayers. And I can tell you, James, when I get in there, our taxpayers are not going to be paying for those things. We have run deficits as a state for almost the entire fiscal year of 2025. That's where our spending has led us. And unfortunately, our Republican leaders are just as guilty of that as our Democrats. And we've got to rein that in and stop enriching and benefiting ourselves. Our leaders don't need private jets and luxury suites at the, you know, when our taxpayers are struggling with their property tax and income tax, and our businesses are struggling as well. I mean, CNBC, last year, shortly after I announced, I was the last one of the nine to get in the race in September, again, because I just didn't see anybody that understood these issues and could tackle them. And but shortly after I came out, CNBC ranked our economy 48th, gave us an F. They give every state a letter grade. Moody's came out shortly after that, said we were one of the states already in a recession. And just a couple weeks ago, the Research Institute Wallet Hub came out and said Kansas has more financially distressed citizens per capita than any other state in the country. So we are just absolutely crushing our folks in Kansas, and I do not believe that that is going to get fixed by someone that's been part of the problem for a quarter of a century.
We're speaking with Philip Sarnecki here on the Mighty 690 as he is on the Republican ticket on the governor's race and in that primary coming up here on Tuesday. Sir, wanted to shift gears a little bit to some topics, especially of local interest. Of course, we've been going round and round right now here in Montgomery County and some of our neighboring counties with the issue of data centers. And was kind of curious to hear your thoughts on this issue as kind of as a state and really a nation, or looking into the prospect of these being built in droves around the area?
Yeah, well, yeah, great question. I would say, be it second to property taxes, data centers are the number two issue that come up as I've been campaigning all over the state. And let's be clear, one of the reasons they're coming is because Time Masterson and our leaders in the legislature, they gave data centers a 20-year sales tax break last fall in the legislature. And I was actually talking to somebody. I have a friend that actually is very, he sold a couple of big companies. He's in the tech space. And when he heard that we had given a 20-year sales tax break to data centers, he said, and I quote, "That's insane," unquote. He said, they don't need tax breaks. They are looking for all the land that they can get. And so we actually came out with a plan on data centers that we think protects the communities. I am a, you know, kind of a states' rights guy. I'm a federalist, a 10th Amendment guy. And I think a lot of these issues, as much as possible, let the local communities decide. I don't think Johnson County should be telling the people in Montgomery County or Lincoln, Kansas, whether or not they should have a data center. I believe the local communities should decide that. But I do think we need to protect the local communities. So our plan was pretty simple. It's that there's no undue burden on the water. They have to provide their own energy. Electricity rates cannot go up. No eminent domain. We do not want private companies using eminent domain to take our land. And then the final one was then you would leave it to the citizens to vote on whether they want the data center or not. And there's actually legislation in 2007 that passed. That's how we communities vote on casinos today. So you could kind of mimic that with the data centers as well. So we want to protect the communities from getting run over, you know, by some of the biggest companies on the planet.
We're speaking with Philip Sarnecki here on the Mighty 690. And, sir, we had a question from a listener when it comes to community colleges. And I don't expect you to, understand all the nuances of everything across the state. Of course, there are 105 counties, but there's only one county in Kansas that has two community colleges, and that's right here in Montgomery County. So, off the cuff, do you have any thoughts on, you know, the community college system? Do you think that two community colleges for one county is too many? Or just just there's no right or wrong answer. I don't think I'm just trying to kind of gauge your thoughts on the issue.
No, actually, I'm glad you brought this up. I had a Zoom call with, I believe we have 19 community colleges in the state. I had a Zoom call with the president probably a couple months ago. I'm a huge fan of community colleges. I think we have too many kids that are going to four-year colleges who don't need to go to those four-year colleges. When you look at what's going on with the trades today, for example, there are tremendous opportunities in things like plumbing and welding, and I think we need to bring those back. Like I said, my father was a janitor, and he's very good with his hands. My younger brother, same kind of thing. He's very talented with his hands. I didn't get those skills. But I think we need to provide opportunities, and it's so much more cost efficient. We send these kids to four-year universities that don't need to go. They get out. I've heard numbers like half the kids that go to the universities come out with degrees that they don't use, they don't need, that they're in massive debt. And a lot of those kids could go to our community colleges and get an associate's degree or, you know, learn a trade or what have you, and they're not going to walk out with the debt that they would have from the universities. And quite frankly, in a lot of situations, they're now making more money coming out of those community colleges than what a lot of the kids going to the universities are. So I'm a huge fan, and I think we need to make sure we're investing in our community colleges, and we're doing everything we can to get the right kids to those schools who don't need to go to the university.
Anything on when it comes to, you know, education? I know that that's been another, you know, topic of that's been brought up, especially in some of these counties where you have a declining population, but still trying to support all these different school districts. Any thoughts on how you would handle that if elected?
Interesting, you brought up school districts. I don't, most people don't know this, but we, in the state of Kansas, we have 286 school districts. Now, just to give a little comparison, Florida, who has 20 million more people than Kansas, has 67 school districts. Utah, that's similar in size to Kansas, has 41 school districts. We have 286. So that means we have 286 superintendents and back rooms that are processing things. You know, if you were to look at that from a business standpoint, you go, that's probably not very cost efficient. And it's not even that we have to necessarily merge districts, but you could merge or use back room efficiencies to help with maybe two or three or four school districts, depending on how they're laid out. So there's opportunities there. But overall, we're failing our kids in the state of Kansas. Over 70% of our fourth graders are not proficient in math and reading at fourth grade levels, and yet we're passing them along. Last year, and some people might say, well, we have to invest in education. Well, we spent more money last year than any time in the history of the state of Kansas on education, about $18,500 per student. Yet we got the worst outcomes that we've ever had in the history of the state of Kansas. For the first time ever, our test scores were below the national average. We're actually about 15th in spending as a state, but our NAEP outcomes are 40th. So I don't think this is a spending problem. I think it's an allocation of resource problem. So here's an example. In our education funding formula, there's a goal. It's not a law. It's a goal. 65% of the funding gets into the classroom. It gets to the teachers. It gets to the classroom. Well, last year, that number was 52.5%. It was a 17-year low. So what's happened is our teachers' income, if you adjust for inflation, have gone down 9% in the last 20 years. So we're not paying our teachers near enough. We're not getting the money into the classroom. And our what I'll call, I'm going to use a business term, but our middle management has skyrocketed. So our student population has grown by about 4% in the last 20 years. Our teachers have grown by about 4%, but our quote-unquote middle management has grown by about 35% over that same time. And when you look at our results, our outcomes, clearly it's not working. We're getting, like I said, we got the worst results last year from test scores versus the national average that we've ever gotten. And in addition to that, the Kansas Policy Institute came out and said, we lead the nation in ACT test score declines. So we have a huge opportunity here to turn education around. If you look at what they've done in Mississippi, they've done some phenomenal things down there. They ranked 49th in reading 10 years ago. Today they're like 8th or 9th. And by the way, we ranked 5th as a state in reading proficiency 10 years ago. This is for 4th graders. Today we rank 36th. So we have plummeted. Mississippi's gone the other way. And oh, by the way, Mississippi spends less money per student on education than what Kansas does. And we actually spent a couple hours with the guy, Doug Carswell, who's been leading that effort in Mississippi to get their education system turned around, and we got a lot of phenomenal ideas from him. But this is, it's really not an idea problem, whether it's property tax, education, whether it's foster care, whether it's our economy, GDP growth, taxes. There's not a lack of ideas in Topeka. That's really not the issue. There's a lack of leadership. That's the problem. We have too many people, especially at the leadership levels, in Topeka that are more worried and concerned about the lobbyists that are funding them and getting reelected than they are about the people in the state of Kansas. And if you don't believe me, just go look at who's funded, you know, some of these gubernatorial campaigns. I mean, Ty Masterson's funding is overwhelmingly from the lobbyists and the special interests. That's why the data centers, that's why the wind turbines, that's why the foreign companies have gotten all the property and sales tax breaks, because they have the lobbyists and the people of the state of Kansas don't. And as an outsider who doesn't need the lobbyists, don't need the lobbyist money, my wife and I have funded more than half this campaign ourselves. You know, we're doing this for the people of Kansas. We're doing this because we love the state and we need to get this state turned around. And I'm sorry, I just don't believe that's going to be done with a career politician that's been part of the problem for the last 20 plus years.
We're wrapping up our conversation with Philip Czarnecki, who's running for the governor's ticket on the Republican side of things. Sir, as we finish up, a last question for you. Do want to know, you know, why should folks vote for you? What sets you apart as we finish up our time together?
Yeah, thank you. Well, I think I've kind of addressed that, but just what I'll say is this. What sets me apart is my business background, creating jobs, understanding business, understanding, you know, signing the front of a check, not just the back of a check. I understand taking risks, borrowing money, getting businesses started, creating jobs. I understand our economy. I understand how to grow our economy. I understand what businesses need. And I have a heart for, you know, like I said, my mom being a secretary, my dad being a janitor, I have a heart for the working class people because that was my family. And what I don't have the heart for are the lobbyists and the special interests that are, in essence, running Topeka right now. And like I said, I'm very, very different than the other candidates in that I'm an outsider. I've never run for office. And, you know, I'm not part of the, you know, Topeka establishment. And I believe that's what we need in Kansas right now. You're not going to get, we need transformational change in Kansas. Kansas, other than about four or five counties of 105 counties in the state of Kansas, our state's dying. Our population is not growing. Our population is aging. And if we don't, it's already bad enough, and I went through a lot of those statistics, so I won't, you know, rehash those, but if we don't get this turned around, it's going to be really, really bad as we continue to go forward. So I bring a unique perspective here. Like a lot of other states have already done this. Like I said, a dozen governors around the country who had never run for office who came out of the business world. And I believe we've got to do the same thing in the state of Kansas because what we've been doing for the last two plus decades has not worked. And quite frankly, we need to win. I mean, in this very red state, Our career politicians lost the governor's race in 2018. They lost again in 2022. And one of the reasons I threw my hat in was because I saw the same people doing the same thing. As I took a step back, I'm like, we're doing the same thing we did in 2018 and 22. We're running legislators for what's essentially an executive level, a CEO job, and we're running career politicians again. And we're going to end up losing to the Democrats again if we don't do something different. So that's why we decided to run, and it's been a lot of fun. And we're, you know, we believe this is a two-person race. Quite frankly, between me and Ty, we've seen the numbers and the data, and nobody else is even really close. So I would just encourage everybody on August 4th to go out and vote. I mean, I didn't do this because I need a job. I'm not doing this because I'm interested in a title. And I definitely didn't do this to join the establishment. I ran to defeat the establishment. And with the help of your listeners on August 4th, I believe that's exactly what we're going to do.
All right, Philip Czarnecki, we really appreciate you joining us today. And best of luck here on Tuesday.
Yeah, thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
All right, we appreciate it. That is Philip Czarnecki joining us here on the Mighty 690. Coming up tomorrow, we are squeezing in actually another political interview for you. We will actually be talking with his opponent, Ty Masterson, one of the several opponents there on the Republican ticket. That'll be at this time tomorrow, so we will, again, squeeze that Saturday interview in with you. And we'll have all these interviews, of course, archived up at KGGFradio.com. On the way, of course, as well, on a Monday, we'll probably try to squeeze in a Monday or Tuesday, we will replay some of the County Commission Forum for you here on the Mighty 690 for some of those local races here for the northern portion of Montgomery County. So, of course, KGGF will have election night coverage for you. That's coming up on Tuesday here on the Mighty 690. News coming up.